Please be seated. Unless you own a silver Toyota. public service announcement. If you own a silver Toyota, YS08HCN, the alarm keeps going off. Okay, we'll see you in a moment. MHA, as most of you probably know, as a third of my appointment here is actually paid for by MHA, who run Angelita Court and Ladies Lord Court up on Woodlands Park, the new development just behind us here. And as Sam said, it was once called Methodist Homes for the Aged, but when they reviewed their services some while ago, they realised that it's not just Methodist, it's not just homes, and it's not just for the aged. Actually, our youngest resident at Angelita Court is 61. Early onset dementia. Devastating. But it has a good reputation within the care industry, so they kept the title MHA Care Group. And we have values. You don't have to be a Methodist, but we have values to be employed by MHA or to be a resident of MHA, one of the homes or part of the scheme or communities. They do visiting in people's homes. You have to agree to those values, and they are very simple. It's about valuing people as individuals, about striving to be the best we can be, at values along those lines. And every year, they ask the churches that support MHA to focus once a year to focus on the work, because although it is a business, it's also a charity. And the charity part of MHA pays for chaplaincy, it pays for upgrades to homes. We took 17 homes from Southern Cross when they went belly up last year. And those homes needed a lot of work. And it wasn't fair to pass all that work on to those service users there. And also, they have a policy of not throwing anybody out. When your money runs out, MHA will keep you for the rest of your days. So the charity that is MHA pays for all those kind of things. So that's why I'm talking to you today, because it pays for me. So every year they pick a theme for us to look at in these services, and this year it is that. Who is my older neighbour? And interestingly, in the last weeks leading up to the time of year when we celebrate MHA, I've had a lot of conversations about the understanding of neighbours and neighbourliness and how it's changed in our lifetime. I specifically remember the road that my grandparents, my dad's parents, lived on, and it was such a lovely community. Everybody was auntie so-and-so, even though there were no relation at all. There were any number of houses I could wait in if Grandma and Grandad weren't in for some reason. And it was such a friendly place. And lots of the others remember, lots of the residents and people I've spoken to remember a time when we did know our neighbours. These days, we perhaps don't even know the first name of some of our neighbours. And the world has changed, but it is tempting to look back with rose-tinted spectacles, because although that was a lovely community, the toilet was at the bottom of the yard, there wasn't a bathroom, it was a tin bath, there wasn't even mains gas, it was a range that heated the house, apart from the attic where I stayed, that didn't get heated. A lot's changed for the good. Not just what we expect, but also in that community and many others, even 30 years ago, there was less equality for women. Certainly in the workplace, we weren't paid the same. There was far more racism that was accepted and not questioned. So a lot has also changed for the good. So it's important to look back and see what we've lost that we could and we ought to bring with us, but also we need to remember that there is a lot of good. And here in the readings, we had the Israelite community on their exodus. They're partway through and they're a bit fed up of manna. They're fed up of walking. They're fed up of living this nomadic lifestyle. And they're starting to say, we were better off back in Egypt. Well, they weren't, were they? They were in slavery. It's easy to look back and say, we shouldn't have set off down this road. Yes, we need to take the past with us and learn from it. There's so much wealth of wisdom in the people I minister to for Angelita and Ladies Lord that really ought to be valued more than it is. There's a lot of wisdom, but there's also a lot that has improved. So when you look at the meaning of neighbourliness today, you think about what it really means. Who is my neighbour? You don't need to be asking who is my older neighbour, because if you're truly asking who is my neighbour, that is everybody. And it's tempting to judge by our own standards. When somebody comes into the church, it can be tempting to think, oh, what can you offer? Can you play the piano? Can you lead Sunday school? When actually, they've got plenty to offer because God ordained them to their role, whatever that might be. And as I've said before, sometimes when I go to Angelita Court, it's like an oasis. In the churches, in the world, we do so much running to do from one activity to another, from one crisis to another, it seems sometimes. People haven't got time to stop, to listen, to pray. Then I go into Angelita Court and there's people with nothing but time. And it's like my soul, my body just relaxes. And I can spend time with people that really value being spoken to as an equal and have so much to offer. Lots of our pastoral visitors would also say that when they've gone to visit somebody in hospital or in their home, they often gain far much more from the encounter that they feel the person they went to visit possibly can. It is a wonderful gift to be able to spend time with people and just have the freedom to love them for who they are. In the other readings we had today, we had that bit from Ephesians. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Not always easy. We're a very diverse bunch of people. We have very diverse views or understandings of what is right at times. But Paul reminds us that we just need to offer it to God, because God will give each one of us the grace and strength to do what Christ has appointed. When we try to do things under our own strength, we almost inevitably fail. But with each other, we are placed in a community, with each other and with God, we can achieve great things. And then you have that wonderful bit of gospel where John says one of the big I am readings, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And what is bread? It is that staple, isn't it? Bread, milk, sugar, eggs. Are they the staples that you're almost always on your shopping list? Jesus doesn't say, I'm the cake. He doesn't say, I'm the icing on the cake. He says, I'm the basics. I am what you need for life. And that's what we pray every week when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what we're asking for. We ask for that which we need to sustain us for this day. We don't ask even for bread to sustain us tomorrow, because tomorrow we pray again for what sustains us for that day. And when you have that which you need, and that which you need alone, the rest seems less significant. I've spent time in very poor communities, in this country, but in other parts of the world as well, where people have practically nothing by our standards. But when they've got food, water, shelter, companionship, they don't need anything else. And their prayers are then for other people. And they're trying to press gifts on the people who visit them. When we have that which we need and no more, we don't want for anything else. So MHA, when it's asking people this year to look at who is my older neighbour, it's saying to the people that use their services, you are valuable. You have much to offer. Maybe now is your time to rest, relax, and receive care, which is very difficult if you're an independent person. But also that you are valued and valuable, and you're part of something. The need to belong is a deep human need. So while they're valuing the elderly, they're also saying to the churches and the wider community that we need to look again to how we minister, how we ask the question, who is our neighbour, and what we mean when we ask it. To the churches, maybe some of our churches, some of our smaller Methodist chapels are mainly made up of quite elderly people. But that isn't to say that all the people that need ministry in that community are being ministered to. Just because we have people in our congregation doesn't always mean we minister to them. To ask who is our older neighbour, we must recognise that they might not be there. In 2014, a charity called Friends of the Elderly published a research report called The Future of Loneliness. And that explores the isolation that many older people now find themselves in. That community I described back at the beginning, you weren't going to be alone in that community. Families lived close together, and Auntie Winnie could live in our home with dementia because half a dozen people would regularly pop in. Now families have had to live apart. People have had to move for work. There's often great distances between families. And there is a new phenomenon, which is called the hidden elderly. There are elderly people who fall below the radar of every service. They don't have visitors. They don't get the support they need. Social services aren't aware of them. And with the delay that's recently been announced in the upper limit for paying for care, the number of elderly people who are going to live in their homes rather than in a community is only going to increase. As churches, we need to be aware of that. We are fortunate here to have a pastoral group that looks at our pastoral list and notices if there are people who haven't been attending for some time. And we do try to keep in touch with the people we already have contact with. But new people move into our communities. It is not just our responsibility as church, but it is our responsibility as human beings to look out for our neighbour. And our neighbour's not just the person who lives next door. It's anybody we meet, anybody whom we come into contact with. Their need should be important to us. Sometimes, like the people of Israel, we react because that person has upset us by their behaviour, when actually Jesus wants us to take a step back, wonder why they behave in such a way, and see what we can do to improve their life and to challenge their preconceptions. MHA is an organisation which does generally care for the elderly. As I said, Vivian at 61 can hardly be called elderly. But her mother lives at Ladies Lord Court, which is the independent living apartments. We also have to minister there to somebody who is perfectly in her right mind and almost wishes it was her that had dementia and not her daughter. And this month, it's August already, they celebrate their birthday on the same day. So I ask you to remember in prayer Sheila and Vivian and the journey they are travelling together, and for their whole family. Just one example of the work we try to do within MHA to keep people connected, to keep people part of a community, and to uphold them with prayer. Amen.